right, so our next topic here tonight, are you tired of writing wire-up code based on the events in WPF and Silverlight, like storyboard 1.begin on a mouse click event?
I know you are.
I think you are too, aren't you?
Absolutely, man. I'm telling you. You know, it's just like when, Bill, when VB, you know, first came out, you had all these third-party controls, right? And it made it a lot easier to go ahead and write applications by just dragging and dropping these controls, setting a few properties. It's kind of an analogy of what we're going to be talking about here with something called behaviors. Before we get to that, I got Bill Reese with me. He's our Silverlight MVP based out of Tampa, Florida. All right, that's it. And he's got a book coming out, Hello Silverlight 3, coming soon from Manning Publications. It's manning.com/Reese. His blog is there. He's an independent consultant as well with Blue Rose Systems. And he's up on Twitter. He's got some open source projects. He used to be a former XNA MVP as well. So he's got some gaming, a lot of great gaming experience and gaming content. So presentations he's done over at GameFest 2008, and again, you always see Bill involved in the community helping out. So once again, a big round of applause and welcome for Mr. Bill Reese.
Okay, so like we were talking about a little bit earlier, there's some new features in Blend, and I guess you talked about one of these new features before in one of your other episodes, right?
That's right, Sketchflow. Yep.
Sketchflow. So Sketchflow is probably the one that got the most publicity about what's new in Blend, but I think behaviors is just as important and just as exciting as Sketchflow is, actually. Mm-hmm. Behaviors let you write less code to attach functionality to your elements. So if instead of writing that code behind that you write before, say, handle this click event and go ahead and do something, you could just wire up this event in Blend and it'll do it for you, and you won't have to write any code behind for it. So
No code. That's a good thing.
Now you can write your own behaviors and then you're writing code
for
the behaviors, but then other people can use them easily. So.
Yeah.
So in order to use these behaviors, you're going to have to have the Blend 3 SDK installed on your machine. You don't necessarily have to have Blend installed. You need to if you want to use Blend to set up your behaviors, but if someone else created an application using behaviors in Blend, you could actually edit it in Visual Studio and compile it and everything else as long as you have the Blend 3 SDK installed. And that's a free download, and it's available now because they released Expression Blend 3 today. So we're pretty excited about that. And so you'll be able to, on your developer machine, if you don't have Blend on there, you'll still be able to run programs that use behaviors. So I'm running Blend 3 release here. I just downloaded it today and installed it. So we're ready to go on the latest release stuff here. And what I'm going to do is create a new Silverlight project. I'll create a Silverlight 3 application plus website. These behaviors will also work in WPF. So you can use them in your WPF projects as well, and they behave exactly the same. And what I'm going to do first is I'm going to bring out a couple of controls. So I'll bring out a button.
Out of curiosity, how many people here have done Silverlight applications, written Silverlight apps? A few of you have?
It's actually becoming a pretty good market for Silverlight development right now. It's a hot market, so definitely take a look at it. Okay, and I want to drag a text block out. So now I just have a couple of simple controls, a button and a text block. And what I'm going to do is go to this new section called Behaviors. And in our behavior section, we have all these behaviors that we can attach to a XAML element. So I have 17 behaviors installed on here. 8 of those come with Blend right now, and then the other ones were installed separately from some community code, and we'll see that in a little bit. Okay, and as we see at the bottom of the behaviors list here, we also have the option of looking for other behaviors at the expression gallery. So we'll go to this expression gallery is for the community to submit their own behaviors and other related components that can be used inside expression. So we'll go to the behavior section, and you can see ones out here like make lowercase, docking behaviors, there's drag and drop, some other behaviors from Sean Wildermuth, and some other good behaviors here. Now this just started recently, so there's not that many out here yet, but I expect this to grow quickly and to be some really cool behaviors out there for you to use. So let's go ahead and let's start using behaviors in our application. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to drag the change property behavior onto the button. And then we get, it shows up in our visual tree here as a child of the button. And we get these properties here associated with it. Now these properties are going to be different depending on what type of behavior that you're using. And you can specify what properties are associated with the behaviors that you create. So we're going to first go ahead and pick a target for this. Now, this is a new little feature in Blend that if I go and click on this target to the side and then I click on an element, it's actually going to be able to go ahead and just populate that box for me. So the other thing it does there is it names that element for you. So because it needs to be named to be part of a behavior. So it goes ahead and does that for you. Now I can say, and this is going to be on the click event of the button that this behavior is going to trigger. And what we're going to do is change the text property.
You've got the event handler click. You've got the properties that come up, and you just got to fill in the property with whatever it is that you want to do here.
Right. So whoever created the behavior actually wrote that code behind, and
That's right.
Get to call it without actually writing any code. So I'm going to set the text property, and I'll set it to clicked. And now we can go ahead and run this. And here we have our button and our text block. And when I click, you see that the property is updated. So this is with no code written. This is so a designer could go in and actually use this behavior and enhance the properties and the functionality of a XAML element. If we look at the XAML for this, we see that we have this new iEvent trigger property that is being set in here. And we have the target name, the property name, and the value. So this is really all that's added to the XAML itself in order to actually implement this behavior. So it's pretty straightforward, and you could actually write the XAML for this yourself if you wanted to. And so let's take a look at some more interesting behavior. There's a Silverlight MVP named Andy Beaulieu, and he's really into the Farseer physics engine for Silverlight. I was involved early on in the Farseer physics engine getting it ported to Silverlight from XNA, and he's actually really run with it, and he's actually implemented some really cool stuff here. So he's released some new behaviors for physics that actually can be used inside Blend. So the source code and binaries are available at physicshelper.codeplex.com. And so what we're going to do is go back to our design window, and we're going to use some of these physics behaviors that I have installed. First thing we need to do is go to the layout root, and that's currently a grid. And for the physics behaviors to work, we need to change it to a canvas. And then what I need to do is add a physics controller behavior to the canvas. And what this has is information like the gravity values and some of the other values, friction and things like that. So I'm going to change the gravity to 100. You can set this to any value you want and play with it till you have the gravity that feels right for what you're doing. And so the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to actually attach another behavior to this button. And I'm going to attach the physics object behavior to it. And now what this is going to do is that this is going to make this button be a physics object. So there's going to be physics properties associated with this button. And then I'm going to do the same thing with text block. And the text block is actually, I'm going to make that static. And what static is going to do is make it so that the it's not affected by gravity. It's kind of stuck in place. It's kind of like a shelf or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so now that we have those behaviors in place, let's go ahead and run this. Now this is, you know, great for a line of business application, right? You definitely want your button.
That's great.
This is what everybody wants.
This looks like April Fool's joke.
They want their button to fall
like.
Down, right? Now, there's something wrong with my program.
My button keeps falling off.
So now the thing is also we have two behaviors on this button actually. We still have the change property behavior on there. So if we go ahead and refresh that, if we click fast enough, we can actually still get the other behavior to execute. So it's a little hard to click the button, but it's still there.
So you have multiple behaviors per object then.
Right, exactly. Yep. So that's pretty cool for the physics behaviors. And like I said, these are available on CodePlex. Now, Peter Blois, who's on the Blend team, he has a pretty interesting sample as well that he's created as a behavior. And what he did is he likes, if on his blog here, it says that what he likes to do is make the interfaces explode. This is a hobby of his for some reason. I'm not sure why. But you know, if you ever want your data grid to just like shard into a million pieces, then this might be the behavior you want. So we'll click on something here.
Ooh.
And what this behavior is actually doing is it's using the perspective transform that's built into Silverlight 3 now to actually do a 3D distortion of all the elements. And if I hit reset, then they actually come back together.
Man, that's great. That's great.
So this is an image, and this is a data grid, and this is another image, and no matter what these elements are, these behaviors can be attached to anything. So it's really a great sample of, not a very practical sample, but a great sample of what you can do with behaviors. So we're really excited about, you really have to think in a different way though about programming these, because when you're writing your applications, you need to think about what could be a behavior. Does it make sense for something to be a behavior? And you really need to think in a different way about how you code it. But if you do and you write your code that way, then you can really make your stuff more reusable. You can make it reusable in different situations that you may not have thought of originally, and actually implement a model view type interface. Model view seems to be the buzzwords these days. So separating your view logic from your model logic, and this will help you get there.
I think the light bulb that goes off is whenever you're thinking, I got to write an event handler, and you think of this, right? You go and take this approach, and then who knows? Maybe there's already something out there, right, that does what you want it to do, and it's just drag and drop at that point. And then I would imagine there's going to probably be a pretty big, third-party market for writing these as well, just as there was with the third-party controls, right?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case, and I also think that if you're working with a designer, then this can be really useful because you can write the code in a way that the designers can implement, so, and just bring into the project.
That's awesome, Bill. Give it up for Bill Reese. Silverlight MVP.